You will never get to the right answers if you don't begin with the right questions. And on that first Pentecost, following all of the amazing and bewildering things that happened, there were those who had the question, what does this mean? It's a great question. It's a question, actually, most of us would do well to carry around with us in life. What does this mean? It's the question of those who are intrigued. It's the question of those who look for more. Those who want to understand, ask, what does this mean? There were others, you will note, on that day of Pentecost who jumped to conclusions. They assumed that they knew what was going on. They thought that those believers were drunk, that they had had too much wine, though it was early in the morning. There were things going on that were beyond explanation, and they thought, these people are drunk. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't make your assumptions too readily in life. Instead, come into all of life ready to explore, and especially in matters of the faith. Those who come inquisitively asking, what does this mean, are those who will discover. And those who will come to know much more deeply the answers than those who assume that they know from the beginning. So what happened on that day? The day of Pentecost, which fell 50 days after the Passion, 50 days after the death and rising again of Jesus. What happened on that day? Well, first of all, we should say this. There are certain things in life that you are never properly able to put into words. It may be things that you've never experienced before, or things that defy description. Either way, they leave you saying something like, it was like. It was like this, because you can't say exactly what it was because you've never seen or understood it before. And so that's exactly what we get from Luke in his description of what happened that day. He didn't say it was the blowing of a violent wind. He said it was like the blowing of a violent wind. And what kind of wind are you imagining in your mind now? Are you down by the beach, tasting salt on your lips as the wind blows waves onto the shore? Or are you high on the mountains, a wind blowing back and forth, reminding you of the power of all of creation? Is there a violence in the wind as it comes louder and blows more strongly? There are times of gentle breezes, but when the Holy Spirit of God comes, there is a power to the wind. There is a strength to what God does through His Spirit. And so it was on that day of Pentecost. Like a violent wind from heaven, it came as never before. And then there was a stillness that followed. but nothing was ever the same again. What might we say further about this moment? First of all, that it came suddenly. The Spirit of God doesn't always give an announcement or a warning. So don't expect me as minister to make in the notices on a Sunday morning to say, next Sunday we are expecting the Holy Spirit to be here. Suddenly and unannounced, the Spirit came. And still today the Spirit will surprise us if we are open to see and to sense His work. Secondly, the Spirit filled the whole house. In other words, affected everyone who was in that house. As we looked earlier in our year, in the Old Testament times, the Spirit would come on this person and that person at special occasions for particular reasons. But on the day of Pentecost and forever after, God pours out His Spirit. God fills with His Spirit everyone who is in the house. That is to say, all God's people, all those who are believing. And alongside the wind, there was the fire. What seemed to be like tongues of fire came and rested on each of them. Fire warms when we are chilled. But when you start a fire, you have no way of knowing where it might finish. Because just as fire warms, fire is dangerous, fire is unpredictable, and fire is uncontrollable. And so, as the Holy Spirit comes, and certainly into a family of God's people, we know not where it will finish. We cannot say what the outcomes will be. When the Holy Spirit is let loose, then even order is threatened in some way. It cannot be contained in a box of our own making. So we have these descriptions of the day of Pentecost, the violence of the wind, and the fire that rested upon each of the believers. That's what happened as it's described to us. But back to the big question, what did it mean? What does it mean? And what were the results of it? It meant that something new had begun. It meant that nothing could ever be the same again. It meant that Jesus had promised the Spirit, and now the promise was fulfilled. It meant the beginning of the new era. The beginning of the new era, which we call the season of the Spirit. It was ushered in on that day of Pentecost, and friends, still we live in that season. Still you and I inhabit the season of the Spirit. And so for us too, as we open ourselves to the Spirit's work, there is that always present possibility that new things will happen. That our old selves will be changed, and that the promises that Jesus makes to us will be fulfilled. This is a season of fulfillment. the season of the Spirit. But notice this. It seems to me that there are two requirements insinuated here for us to know the fullness of the Spirit. First of all, note that it was the believers. The believers. It is essential, therefore, that we believe. God cannot pour His Spirit into our lives if we are not believing. Believing in the life and death and rising again of Jesus. Believing it to our very core. And those who believe shall be filled by the Spirit. And the second thing is this. Note, they were all together in one place. And this speaks to me of the absolute requirement that we be one. Of course, it meant physically they were together in one place. And that is why it is good always that we join together faithfully in worship. We're still the church through the week when we are scattered, but we must be together in worship. In the one place, physically. That's important, but it's much more than that. It means too that we must be one in spirit. That we must be one in vision. One in hope for what God will do among us here. These were the two prerequisites for the pouring out of the Spirit, and still they must be present. What were the results of what happened that day? What were the results? Well, first of all, we might say this. The believers were transformed. No other word about to use. They were transformed. Now, please note, this is after all that happened to Jesus. So these men, in the main, these followers of Jesus, the disciples, they'd been with Him for 3 years. They'd heard Him speaking. They'd witnessed all that He had done. They'd been there when He was arrested. Some of them had seen Him literally being crucified, but they all knew it had happened. And they all had witnessed His rising again. All of these followers had seen all that had happened to Jesus. And still, the story wasn't finished. And still, they weren't complete. It required the infilling of the Holy Spirit for them to be transformed. Transformed in what ways? Here you go. From fright and fear to faith and fortitude. Though they had witnessed all that happened to Jesus, still these were men who were hiding and huddling together behind locked doors for fear of what might happen to them. It was the coming of the Spirit that changed all of that. They were transformed. Their faith came alive as never before. They became brave and courageous. Brave and courageous. They went from silence to speaking, from being dumb to declaration. And how we need once more the power of the Spirit to blow among us. How, again, God needs to raise up a generation who will be ready to declare the wonders of God. Once more, let's expose ourselves to the Spirit. Let's allow the wind of the Spirit to blow among us and through us. to take our fear and to give us faith, to take our frailty and to give us fortitude, that we again might be a generation who are ready to declare the wonders of God to a world desperately needing to hear. And the second result, by the power of the Holy Spirit, confusion gave way to coming together. Here was a large crowd gathered, all speaking different languages. And yet, in that moment, by the power of the Holy Spirit, each one was able to hear the proclamation of God's word, hear and understand it in their own language. And again, I offer this as a symbol of unity, that even now, I'm sure God Himself weeps for and longs for, that His people might be one, that we might lay aside our differences as Christians in this nation, even in this town, and all across the world, and that we might be one. All speaking one language, and all declaring the wonders of God to this world. Friends, as we believe, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so if today, in your heart of hearts, you are believing in Jesus Christ, the Spirit is set within you. But let us continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's take the spark and make it into a flame. Let us pray together that we might be filled with the Holy Spirit. And not just on this special occasion of Pentecost, but that here on we might be people who are all the more open to the work of God's Spirit in our lives. It is still now. But the Spirit of God is set loose. The Spirit of God is among us. The Spirit of God is within. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. May God bless to us His word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.